Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Monday, December 8th. We have a great line of conversations ahead of us today. Coming up in January, we have the LCMS Life Conference in association with the March for Life. And today we have the privilege and honor to get to talk with some of the presenters at the LCMS Life Conference. And boy, I am really looking forward to talking with these guests and hearing from some of the folks that help put this conference together as well. And it's going to be an outstanding conference, folks. If you can, at all make arrangements to be at this conference, there are some just great speakers that are going to be at this, and a great opportunity to stand for life in our country. And so I hope that as you hear the conversations today, that you'll take time to dig in, find out more, and look into registering for this LCMS Life Conference. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University Wisconsin, for supporting this program. You can find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin at our website, kfuo.org, and you can look for the CUW logo there in the sponsor section. Joining me, our first guest, Dr. Donna Harrison, Director of Research and Public Policy of the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists. Dr. Harrison, welcome to Faith and Family.
Thank you for having me.
It is it's an honor to get to have some time to talk with you this morning. Tell us about a little bit about your work as a pro-life obstetrician and gynecologist. What led you, first of all, what led you into this career path, this work as an OBGYN?
Well, I like women. And I like working with women. I think there's a lot of potential in women who are giving birth and bringing new life into the next generation, and it's an exciting field.
As a male, really don't have much experience interacting with obstetricians and gynecologists until the Lord blessed us with the gift of a child, and then was by my wife's side through that whole process. And I will have to say that having a good OBGYN through that process along with the OBGYN's rest of their staff and the hospital staff is really important. And I think one thing that is important to us and probably to many Christians is having a physician that understands and respects the gift of life. Tell us about the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists, or AAPLOG.
Well, we are a group of about 2,500, mostly OBGYNs, mm-hmm. who recognize that we have two patients. We have both the mom, who is very important, and we have her unborn child, who is also very important. So we practice according to the Hippocratic Oath, which says first do no harm, and we also don't provide abortions. That's part of the Hippocratic Oath that all doctors used to take, but not all of them take it now. So that's who we are, and what we do is we make available information to our patients and to the general public and to the courts, information about what abortion does to women. Because most people think, well, abortion is just as good as having a child, but it's not. There's a lot of risks from the abortion immediately, and there's also a lot of long-term risks, and it's one of those long-term risks that I'm going to be talking about at the conference.
And that is, why is that not shared so publicly? Why is that information that is quite often really kept quiet?
Well, abortion is a very powerful lobby. It's a very large money-making industry, and abortion is one of those things that people say, well, it's bad, but we have to have it to solve society's problems. And it's just absolutely tragic as a society that we're willing to sacrifice women and children to solve whatever people think is society's problems. So it's time for us to look at abortion and what it really does to women, and find a different way to help women.
Where does the association do most of its work?
Well, we are all over the country, and in fact, we have some affiliates all over the world. We do our work in the courts, so when there is an issue that comes up that involves the effects of abortion on women, we testify and we write amicus briefs, and we also educate. Mm-hmm. We have a conference every year, which is coming up after the LCMS Life Conference, That's at, if you want information, it's at conference.aplog.org. And that is a conference where we bring together the best researchers in pro-life field, and we make that information available. And we have that information for continuing medical education, that is CME, and it's also available online at our website for our members. And we also interact with pregnancy care centers. We provide them with information. We just act as the experts, the medical experts, for the pro-life movement.
As a father, as a parent, and a husband, I can see why it is so important. And as a Christian, certainly, to me, it only makes sense that as an OBGYN, that one would be pro-life. I can't see how one could, well, even as a physician, how one could not be pro-life. One could not stand for life and still be a physician. How is being a part of the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists, how is that regarded among others in your profession who aren't a part of the AAPLOG?
Well, you know, that's a great question. People think that OBGYNs are pro-abortion just because our professional college, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, is so rabidly pro-abortion. But it turns out there's been two studies that showed that over 85% of OBGYNs do not do abortions. Now, that doesn't mean 85% of OBGYNs are politically active or intellectually active in the pro-life arena. But it does mean that most, like you said, most OBGYNs recognize they have two patients, both the mother and her unborn child. So what we do is we act as a resource for obstetrician gynecologists who are under a lot of pressure to perform abortions. And we provide the intellectual foundation that they can stand on and say, look, this is what the medical literature says, and this is the scientific reason why abortion is not good for women, and I'm not going to do something that is going to hurt my woman patient. And that's how we serve the OBGYN community. We also go to a lot of different conferences to try to educate OBGYNs that there is a whole intellectual foundation for defending women by not doing abortions. And we get various responses. It mm-hmm. depends on how committed the OBGYN is to doing abortions. Most of the time when we go to these conferences and meet our colleagues, it's, I'm glad you're here. I wish I'd have known about you 5 years ago, or whatever. Occasionally we get some hostility, but it's not much because we stick to what's published in the medical literature.
Why is it important for you to be a part of this LCMS Life Conference? We're so grateful that you are sharing your time and coming to present. Why is it important to be a part of this and to share what you have to say with everyone who's attending? We have professionals, laypersons. Why is it important to be a part of this conference?
Because I think people need to know what abortion really does to women. And most people don't know. Most people don't know that an abortion, having an abortion, increases a woman's risk of preterm birth in the subsequent pregnancy. So when a woman who is, or a teenage girl who is considering abortion, sometimes their parents pressure them into having an abortion because they think it's better for that girl. And it's important for all Christians to be able to say, look, don't do that. You're not only killing your baby, you're also hurting your own body. So preterm birth is one. What I'm going to be talking about at the conference is the association between abortion and breast cancer. And that's something that people need to know about, too, that abortion increases a woman's risk of breast cancer, especially if she aborts early in her life and then delays having a child until later in her life. And the third thing that abortion is associated with is suicide, substance abuse, and depression. And sometimes people think, oh, man, life is really hard now. I'm really depressed. I can't face another pregnancy. But what they don't realize is that aborting that pregnancy puts them at an increased risk of mental health problems. So it's those that kind of information that every Christian should be aware of, should be able, especially women, should be able to counsel their roommates, their friends, their friends' daughters, because when a woman is in a crisis pregnancy, she's probably not going to go to her pastor first. She's probably going to go to her female friends.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we need to equip everybody in the church, but especially the women in the church, to be able to think about this issue clearly and to be able to speak clearly about it.
Sure. You bring up a good point. A woman in a crisis pregnancy is probably going to go to her closest friends, whether it be a family member or not. She's probably going to go to her closest female friend first. And it's so important for us to be equipped with the truth, with knowledge about these important issues. You mentioned earlier that some of the other things that come along with abortion include depression and suicide. Is there, when an abortion occurs, how does that affect the I don't know if the biochemistry or hormone levels? I'm not a physician, so I don't know the appropriate terms to use here. But how does that, I know what, being a father, seeing how pregnancy can certainly cause hormones to fluctuate and understand that that's a part of the process. Does that all happen with abortion as well?
Well, women are designed to love their babies, and they start that bonding and that love as soon as they find out they're pregnant. There was a very interesting but sad study that was done in Sweden looking at women who abort, and it turns out that women in the abortion, waiting for their abortion, will rub their stomach and sometimes even talk to their baby. So that bonding goes on regardless of what a woman chooses to do after she finds out she's pregnant. The thing is, when a woman aborts, that's final. So later, when she finds out how far along the baby was, or she finds out that, yes, there really is a baby in there, it's not a blob of tissue, she has no way to grieve because society says there was nothing there. She is the one who made the decision, but a lot of times that decision is made under pressure. A lot of times it's made because she doesn't know that there is a person in there. There's a lot of reasons why women abort, but there's still a grief that's involved with it. I mean, I can't tell you how many women I've had in my office looking at their first ultrasound for their wanted baby, and they look at the ultrasound and they turn away and they cry because they didn't know that the baby they aborted was a baby, and they don't realize it until the next pregnancy. So this grief that everyone would have at the loss of a baby is still present. It's just not acknowledged, and society doesn't let them grieve. And if they start to acknowledge that this was a baby, then the conclusion, the condemnation that comes with that is almost too much to bear. So you can understand why there's depression and that there's an attempt to try to relieve that pain with alcohol or with some other drug. You can see where depression leads to despair, and it's despair that can kill women.
And that is frightening. That is just hearing those numbers. I know how, as you said, women's bodies are designed to care and love for their baby, to think of what one might encounter, what they would experience after an abortion is just frightening. And that's just looking at it from the woman's perspective. We obviously know for the baby what happens, which is even more tragic.
I'm
at a loss for words when I start talking about this.
Well, I think there's something else I want to point out too, and that is, I think Lutherans of all denominations are in a unique position to be able to bring healing to these women, because we understand law and gospel. Mm-hmm. We understand sin and forgiveness and grace. And that is the message that these women so absolutely desperately need to hear. Yes, abortion is a bad thing. Yes, they made a wrong decision, but yes, there is healing. There is grace. There is forgiveness. And that's a message every single one of us can bring to our sisters. And I think it's also a message that it's really important that pastors understand. So of any denomination, I would love to see the LCMS pastors take this up as a part of their training? How do they help the women in their congregation? Because too many times abortion is the thing that we just don't talk about. And because we don't talk about it, the women who have had abortions think, well, this must be the unforgivable sin because nobody talks about it. And we have to talk about it. We've got 1 out of 3 women in this country aborting, or I should say 1 out of 3 pregnancies is aborted. There are women in every congregation that have been touched by abortion, either their own or their sisters or their daughters or their relatives. We've got to start talking about this in terms of what it is. Yes, it's a sin. Yes, it is forgivable. And we need to be providing hope and life and forgiveness for these women who are really hurting.
Absolutely. Thanks for bringing that to the conversation. You're right. That is a very important point. And I think we'll hear that at the conference. So thank you so much for bringing that to the conversation today. With just a less than a minute left, Dr. Harrison, what will you be looking forward to most about being at this LCMS Life conference in January?
Well, being with fellow Lutherans who are pro-life. It's just such a encouragement to me personally. So that's what I'm looking for.
Dr. Donna Harrison, Director of Research and Public Policy, the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists. Thank you so much for being our guest today on Faith and Family.
You're welcome.
Coming up in just a little bit, we have more conversations. We're going to hear today from Ed Zito and Tracy Quatham from LCMS Life Ministry. And we'll also talk with Carol Tobias, President of the National Right to Life Committee, today on Faith and Family. Stick around for more Faith and Family up next on Worldwide KFUO.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The aftermath of the grand jury's decision not to charge the police officer with Michael Brown's death in Ferguson, Missouri, was both shocking and stunning. Thugs looted and set fire to the same businesses that supported their earlier protests. Also shocking was Planned Parenthood going on social networks strongly condemning the grand jury's decision. But what everybody's missing is that between Michael Brown's death and the grand jury decision, nearly 1,000 black unborn babies in Missouri were intentionally killed through abortion. All this lawlessness over the death of one person, who the evidence shows was responsible for his own death, and yet there's no condemnation for the deaths of so many more in Missouri's abortion mills during the same time period. Please pray that the eyes of the people there are open to the deaths of the unborn babies also.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
KFUO celebrates our 90th anniversary. On December 14th, 1924, from a small attic studio in St. Louis, KFUO was heard for the very first time. Our founders used the motto, keeping forward, upward, and onward, to go along with the call letters assigned at the station. And from that day on, KFUO has moved forward through each decade, proclaiming a Christ-centered message. We've moved upward with broadcasting in AM, FM, HD, and satellite syndication of KFUO programs. Worldwide KFUO continues to move onward, using today's technologies including internet streaming, on-demand programs, and podcasting. The mission of that first day is the mission we have today. Go out and proclaim the gospel. Now, through the end of January, join us for fun and memories during this 90-day celebration with a new theme each week, reflecting on our 90 years of ministry. KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Joining me in studio today, Tracy Quatham, Project Coordinator for LCMS Life Ministry at the LCMS International Center in the Office of National Mission. And also joining us on the phone today, we have Ed Zito, Certified Lay Minister and Coordinator for LCMS Life Ministry as well. So it's good to get to talk with you. Tracy, welcome back to the studio.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to see you have your green March for Life hat on this morning.
I do have my green hat on. My bright green hat that we talked about last time we were together. I think we talked not too long ago about the LCMS Life Conference. And so I came adorned with the bright green hat. People are walking by the studio wondering why I'm wearing my winter hat, thinking I'm cold here in the studio, but it's not too cold. Also joining us by phone, Ed Zito, Certified Lay Minister and Coordinator of LCMS Life Ministry. Ed, good to have you back on Faith and Family today. Thanks for taking some time to talk with us.
Hey, Andy. Thanks for having me back.
Well, the conference is coming up not too long from now in January. Registration is open. We just talked with Dr. Donna Harrison, one of the presenters. We're going to talk with Carol Tobias in just a little bit as well from the National Right to Life Committee. How do you all go about gathering the speakers for this event? I mean, there's so many topics. How do you narrow down the topics and speakers for such an event? Who wants to take a stab at that?
Well, one of the reasons that we try to get the speakers together, we take a look at what some of the important issues are that that we need to get the information out to our people. So as Dr. Harrison was talking to you earlier, one of the important things that we need to talk about is the abortion and the breast cancer link, which is downplayed by mainstream media. But pro-life groups have known about this link for many years. There's been tons of research into it, and we really need to get that information out there.
It is, and that, I enjoyed hearing from Dr. Donna Harrison about that specific topic, and I'm so glad that she's going to present on that. It is important. Tracy, the lineup of speakers that we have for this conference, how long does it take to prepare for this conference? I mean, I know it's kind of becoming an annual event now.
We've been working on the 2015 conference for over a year. And the theme of the conference is It's Your Time to Stand. We're really focusing on helping people learn to stand up for the sanctity of human life and hope that the speakers we picked can help people do that.
Ed, who are some of the other presenters who will be at the LCMS Life Conference?
Well, of course, President Harrison will be our keynote speaker, very first speaker of the conference. But also Carol Tobias, as you mentioned, from the National Right to Life Committee, will be present. Lila Rose, who founded Live Action, wonderful speaker, wonderful work that they're doing over there to expose what really happens in Planned Parenthood. It will be a speaker. We're also excited to have Professor Robert George from Princeton University as one of our main speakers. If you're not familiar with what he does, he is a vocal pro-life advocate, also pro-marriage advocate, and he's one of the co-authors of the Manhattan Declaration. So, we try to bring the best of what's available out there to make sure everyone gets information that's vital to sharing the message wherever they go home to afterwards.
Who are, in the past, I know church workers and lay people alike have attended this conference. Who are the people who attend this conference, who have attended it in the past? Who is the typical person that you see at the LCMS Life Conference? Ed?
Well, the typical person you'll see are people who are strongly pro-life. And at our last conference in 2013, what was surprising is that many of the people who stayed for the conference, it was the first time attending the March for Life. So I think it's a wonderful opportunity for people who've considered going to the March for Life but never have because of the distance or the weather or whatever. It's a good opportunity for them to be able to not just come and participate in the March for Life but also be together with other Lutherans, like-minded Lutherans.
Now, you mentioned the March for Life. Tracy, where does it, in the timeline of everything, how does this all fit together? Where does the March for Life fit in the schedule?
The march is scheduled for Thursday of that week, and we will begin actually that morning with divine service at 9 a.m., and then from there go together as a group to the March for Life.
So everything kicks off with divine service, right, then head out to the freezing cold March for Life.
It's okay.
Hopefully
everyone
not
is,
this year.
And everyone will have their green March for Life hat. So,
it'll be the March for Your Life and the Lives of Others, right?
Absolutely.
Everyone will be adorning these with these beautiful bright green hats, which I get to wear in the studio today. And it's much warmer in here today than it probably will be out there. So it starts with the March for Life, and I believe Maggie mentioned it's more like the shuffle for life. It's not anything that progresses very quickly or doesn't move along fast. It's not a marathon or anything like that.
Just the sheer volume of people who are there require you to basically shuffle along.
So you just move very slowly in the March for Life. And tell us, Ed, you've been a part of this before, and tell us about the March for Life witnessing. Now, you've been involved. You covered, I believe, our West Coast in the past, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Seeing people on both sides of the country out and involved in this and standing up for life and witnessing that, what does that mean to you as a Christian to see people standing up for life in these mass amounts?
I think it's very encouraging. Too often when you are speaking about the life issues, too often you think you're the only one. You're the only person who cares. You're the only person who wants to make a difference. And when we are able to get together, whether it's in San Francisco or Washington, D.C., when we're able to get together in large numbers, it's encouragement, it's edification, it's just knowing that others are out there doing the same thing you're doing.
Tracy, let's talk about some of the the time frame. We mentioned that it starts with divine service and the march. Location for the event, for the LCMS Life Conference this year.
We are at the Hilton in Crystal City in Virginia. And one thing to mention is even if you are not planning to join us for the conference, you are welcome to come for divine service before the march.
Okay, very good. So can come for divine service and for the march. Right. Anybody can go to the march as well. How close, in terms of the proximity of the conference to the march, how far away is the conference?
We will ride together on Metro, and that Metro tickets are part of your conference registration fee. We'll provide that, guides to get you to the Metro station and to where we will gather at the march, and then also to get you back to the hotel.
Go ahead, Ed.
I was just going to say it's about a 20-minute Metro ride across the river.
So not too far, really, not too long of a distance across as Ed said, across the river. And how encouraging it would be to see a sea of bright green hats on the Metro that morning and to have that encouragement. And we are we're excited. Reverend Craig D'Onofrio, host of Reformation Rush Hour here at Worldwide KFUO, is making plans and working out all the details to be there and be a part of this conference as well and get some insights and perspectives from those who are attending the conference, which is kind of exciting. This will be our first broadcast from the LCMS Life Conference. Kind of exciting.
It is. We're excited to have you there.
And I'll be back here keeping the home fires burning and checking in with Craig from time to time at the conference. Dates and other information we need to know in order to register for the conference. Tracy, it's coming up in January, right?
Right. January 22nd through the 24th.
Okay.
You can register online at lcms.org/lifeconference. Registration is limited. We do have fairly many spots left, but just so you know, register today.
So. Today is a good day to register. It's a good day. It would make a nice Christmas present too.
Right.
Ed, who would attend this LCMS Life Conference? We talked about who's attended it in the past. Age ranges. Who would want to attend this conference in the March for Life?
Well, what's encouraging is actually we have more students registered right now than we do adults. Right now we have about 130 students, high school and college students, registered to attend. And I think that's really great to be able to have the next generation learn about the truth, about life and how we can speak for life, and then be given tools to do that.
What does that say about our high school students and our college students that they're willing to go, go stand in the cold, to go march in the and shuffle through the cold for quite a while to go stand for life, and then to get to go hear all these speakers? You know, many of our students are already sitting in lecture halls and hearing lectures. What does it say about our students as Christians that they're making the commitment to go to this conference? They're willing and eager and that they cover most of that they make up most of the registration for this conference thus far.
Yeah, and I think it's great. I think it's a wonderful witness on their part to their fellow students about how important this is to their lives, how important it is to our future as Christians living together, as Americans living together in this nation. Why this is important for everyone to be able to speak about and to share information on.
Go ahead.
I was just going to continue and just say that I think it's, and for those of us who've been involved for a long time, I think it's just encouraging to know that there are more, that the future is secure, that those young Lutherans are, mm-hmm. are so committed to coming and being part of this.
Very much so. Tracy, being a mom, and you have a college student, if I remember correctly, and seeing these students that are registering for this event and being a mom, what do you have to say about that, hearing about all these college students and high school students?
It's encouraging. These students were not even born when Roe versus Wade mm-hmm. was passed, and yet they are willing to stand up and take a stand, and we should all maybe look to them for an example.
Yeah. So. What an example from our young students that are taking the stand. And and so we can certainly, as older adults, can stand alongside with them and provide that encouragement as well.
And one thing you'll see at the March for Life, there are babies in strollers mm-hmm. and there are elderly people in wheelchairs. It really crosses the entire spectrum.
So this is very, very much an intergenerational right. event at the March for Life. Tracy, what are you looking forward to most about this conference?
The march, of course, is very mm-hmm. exciting to be together with so many other people who are marching for the sanctity of life. The post-march warm-up is something that will be a good time to not only talk about what happened at the march, but warm up with a good meal. And
it'll take some time to thaw out, I'm gathering, after that, depending on how the weather is. Ed, what are you looking forward to most about the LCMS Life Conference 2015?
Well, to be honest, I'm looking forward to being together with friends and colleagues that I don't get to see that often since I'm all the way out here in Washington, D.C. area. But it'll be a great opportunity to catch up with people and to, once again, edify each other and to strengthen each other for the battle that we face together.
So everybody will be coming your way. They'll be in your neighborhood for a change.
That's right.
So the conference, again, let's go over some details about the conference. We can find out more on the LCMS website. So we'll point folks back to that here in just a little bit. Coming up again, the dates are January, Tracy?
22nd through 24th.
22nd through 24th. Mark your calendars. Block out the days now so that you can be at the conference. You can find registration information on there. Things to consider in terms of planning for this conference. Things that that families might want to consider, individuals might want to consider, and what they need to know in order to register for the conference and make that time for it.
There is a special conference hotel rate.
You
can get that when you call the Hilton. Just mention Life Conference. Be sure to dress warmly for the March day. And really, we just encourage you to go online and sign up and join us.
So layers is what I hear you saying. Come prepared for layers. Ed, any description of what D.C. is like this time of year for us?
It's cold. It's not as cold as some other parts of the country, but it'll be colder than you expect, especially when you're standing out there for a long time. Even the most seasoned person gets cold out there. So we definitely want people to make sure they bring enough clothing and to make sure they're ready for the wind and the dreary weather that'll come in January.
So what you're saying is even the northern Minnesotans will find it kind of chilly?
Yes, absolutely. After you've been standing out there for about 3 hours, it gets everybody gets gold.
So more information about the conference you can find on lcms.org/lifeconference. Life Conference. You can find details there and register online. You want to do that soon. As Tracy mentioned earlier, the registration is starting to fill up. And to the rest of the adults and parents out there, you know, it's encouraging to see our students signing up, but we need to make some representation here, too. So it's time for us to sign up and hear all these great speakers that'll be there. You'll get to hear Dr. Donna Harrison, we just heard a little bit ago, and we're going to talk with Carol Tobias, president of the National Right to Life Committee, here in just a little bit as well. So you'll get to hear both of them and all the other speakers that Ed mentioned earlier. It's going to be an outstanding conference. Any other information we need to share as we wrap up our conversation today, Tracy?
There are 7 district presidents attending.
Oh, okay.
And
great.
Also several of our district life coordinators will be there. So there is support from all districts.
Good networking that can happen there. Ed, any other details you want to share with us as we wrap up our conversation today?
No, just to remind, as you've said earlier, and as Tracy pointed out, registration is filling up quickly. So if you are thinking about coming, just make sure you go ahead and register now.
Our guests today, Tracy Quatham and Ed Zito from LCMS Life Ministry in the Office of National Mission here at the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Thank you so much, Tracy, for being my guest today.
All right. Thank you.
Ed, thanks for being my guest today.
Thanks, Andy. Always a pleasure.
Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to talk with Carol Tobias, president of the National Right to Life Committee. Hope you can stick around for that conversation as well, listeners. More Faith and Family up after this break on Worldwide KFUO.
In our 75th year, we are blessed at Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service with all that the Lord has helped us accomplish, and we are especially grateful to the churches and New American Ministries who took part in our anniversary. As we continue the journey, take a minute to learn more about Lutheran's special history of welcoming the sojourner through our celebration video at lirs.org/historyofwelcome.
Hi, this is Pastor Mark Azil, the LCMS Director of Campus Ministry and LCMSU, inviting all college students and those with an interest in campus ministry to join us for Taboo, the 2015 National LCMS Campus Ministry Conference, this coming January 5th through 7th at St. Louis University in St. Louis. That's right, it's Taboo in the Lou. Find out more at lcms.org/LCMSU.
What does faithful family life look like in a Lutheran worldview? Hi, I'm Eddie Bates, host of Faith and Family. Each day, we discuss different aspects of faithful family life with experts and everyday people. We discuss parenting, aging, work, school, relationships, vocation, and more. Join me weekdays at 10 a.m. for Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. Underwritten by Concordia University, Wisconsin. Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Monday, December 8th. We are looking forward to the LCMS Life Conference in January 2015. I've enjoyed the conversations thus far, and we have more great conversation ahead of us. Joining us by phone, Carol Tobias. She's the president of the National Right to Life Committee. Carol, welcome back to Faith and Family.
Thank you, Andy. It's great to be on.
It's great to hear your voice again. I know you are a busy traveler, and so we thank you for taking some time to talk with us today. Even in the midst of your travels, we appreciate the time that you have that you've set aside for us and talking about the National Right to Life Committee and the LCMS Life Conference. Yeah.
Happy to do it. They're both great events. One great organization and a great event.
tell us about the National Right to Life Committee. What is the work of the National Right to Life Committee?
Well, National Right to Life is the largest and oldest pro-life organization in the country, founded in 1968. We have an affiliate in each of the 50 states with about 3,000 local chapters, so I'm sure if people have been paying attention to the news or doing any activities, they've probably heard of some local Right to Life chapter doing some activity. At least I hope they have. We work in the areas of education and legislation, and then we also get involved in politics because you can't pass pro-life legislation if you aren't electing the right candidate. So we focus on that. Our goal is to change the law. We need to overturn Roe v. Wade and protect unborn children from abortion. So that is our goal, and most of what we do, we're trying to educate and bring people into the pro-life movement, but our goal is to change the law to stop abortion.
How has the NRLC made a difference in legislation? What are some of the things that you can report on that have been victories, if you will?
There have been a lot of them. In the late 1970s, we were working with Congressman Henry Hyde of Illinois to pass the Hyde Amendment, which has prevented taxpayer funding of abortions through the Medicaid program, HHS, all these many years. And a couple of years ago, a study came out showing that just the Hyde Amendment had saved more than 1 million lives because abortions were not covered under Medicaid. We were responsible for initiating and getting past the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act, which was passed in Congress, vetoed by President Clinton, passed again by Congress, signed by President Bush, George W. Bush, and then finally upheld by the Supreme Court. Right now, one of our top priorities is the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, because there's a lot of evidence that by 20 weeks after fertilization, an unborn child can feel pain. So we're trying to say, okay, if the baby can feel pain, then an abortion should not be allowed. 10 states have passed that bill. The U.S. House of Representatives passed it. The Senate did not because Majority Leader Harry Reid was not going to take it up. But we now have a new Majority Leader. Mitch McConnell has said that we should pass that bill. So I expect that to pass, although we do have to probably undergo a veto by President Obama. But there have been several, you know, informed consent provisions, webcam abortions, trying to stop abortionists from prescribing chemical abortions over the internet. Those are a lot of the different things that we are working on in the area of legislation.
Obviously, this is always a task that's going to face hurdles in this country. And what are some of the big challenges that you face in the NRLC?
The biggest one is the Supreme Court. We need to change the court in order to overturn Roe v. Wade, and we can't do that with a president who is going to appoint pro-abortion members to the Supreme Court. We made great gains in this last election in putting pro-life senators into the Senate. They, of course, will be confirming any judicial nominees from the president. But our biggest hurdle right now is, of course, the president, and hopefully in 2 years we will have someone who would say that the Supreme Court shouldn't be legislating from the bench like they did with Roe v. Wade back in 1973 and, you know, establishing their own law, that we need to, have a president who will appoint someone who understands the Constitution and thinks that unborn children should be protected.
As part of the LCMS conference, you'll be a speaker at this conference. What are some of the topics that you'll be addressing in your presentation at the 2015 LCMS Life Conference?
Well, that's still like 6 or 7 weeks away, so I haven't written my speech yet.
And so many things can change between now and then, right?
But something that I was really interested in was in the Concordia Theological Quarterly about a year ago from Dr. Peter Scare in Fort Wayne. And he wrote, when we look at support for the pro-life movement, how far from the truth would it be to say that we are speaking of a case of faith without works? And then he goes on to talk about how, on paper, the LCMS is a strongly pro-life church. We pass all these wonderful resolutions at the convention. He said, but when you go to pro-life rallies and events and different activities, where are the Lutherans? So that's kind of what I want to focus on. You know, how can we encourage people to get involved? We love talking about the two kingdoms, but we're members of this kingdom with a government instituted by God, a government that has been set up so that we can be involved and make a difference. So I'm going to try to focus on, I think using Dr. Scare as a lead-off as to why we need to be getting involved in all different areas of the pro-life movement around the country.
It is very easy for us to say when it comes to our daily lives and our vocations, it's very easy to say, well, yes, I'm pro-life and I am opposed to abortion and just leave it at that. And so I'm going to leave it to other people to take care of addressing that and dealing with it. I have my position on that and just leave it at that and not take any action, not take any steps. And so you brought up a good point that it's very easy for us to just sit back and say, yes, I'm pro-life. I'm opposed to abortion.
And I think what we have seen, you know, with the advent of abortion, human life is not precious anymore. Elderly people are being starved to death in nursing homes. Child abuse has risen. We don't really care about people anymore. Assisted suicide is taking a stronger hold. We now have several states that are considering passing a law to allow doctors to help patients kill themselves. Life is not precious, and I think that this country needs the voices of all the millions of Lutherans out there who believe that God created life and that we should be honoring and respecting that life. Our voices, our hearts, our hands, our feet are needed in this battle. And it's not just to save unborn children. It's to protect all of God's people.
Hmm. And to be educated on these matters is important. I've seen some very well-intending, you know, with the rise of social media over the last two decades, especially in the last decade, really, with the rise of social media, I'm able to stay in touch with a lot of friends and colleagues from previous places I've lived and previous careers I've had. And I've seen some very well-intending people think that, for example, with physician-assisted suicide, make posts and comments about it, you know, for example, with the recent Brittany Maynard story, describing that as a choice that everyone should have and that's a courageous choice. And while they're well-intending and they think that they're promoting mercy for people, we really need to dig into these matters deeper and realize what we're actually talking about, don't we?
Oh, absolutely, we do. There are many people who just think their life is no longer worth living. Some of them have developed some terminal illness, but others are just depressed or lonely. One of the biggest reasons that people give for wanting to end their lives, is that they don't want to be a burden to their family or to their friends. They think someone's going to be better off if they're not living anymore. And I just think that is such a sad state for our society that we've got people here thinking they're not wanted, they're lonely, we would be better off if they weren't here.
Mm-hmm.
That's an attitude that just needs to really be turned around. We're not being merciful and compassionate when we tell someone the solution is for you to kill yourself.
And quite often, legislation for laws like that are disguised as something that is dignified or merciful or compassionate. The campaign that Brittany Maynard was part of is Compassion and Choices, I believe, or something similar to that. And
it was
calling it
Compassion and Choices.
Mm-hmm. And calling it death with dignity. They're all, we try to, as a world, as a culture, we try to put nice names on these things in order to, I think, to get them through legislation. But we can't sugarcoat the truth of the old Adam and death and the reality that it is, can we?
No, we can't. That's why I think Lutheran voices need to speak up, because there are so many people that need to hear the gospel. These people are wanting to kill themselves because they don't see any hope. They don't know that they would have a future if they knew Jesus. And I think that's where our voices, not only in just the, pro-life movement, but in everything we do, we just need to get involved in culture, the culture of life, and, put our voices out there and put the gospel out there for people to hear.
Mm-hmm. that there is compassion, there is hope, and there is dignity, but it's not found in what the world has to offer. That compassion, that hope, is as you pointed out, is found and given clearly in Jesus, in His death and resurrection, not in what we do, and certainly not when we try to take on these things ourselves, but rather it's found that mercy, compassion, dignity, all those things are found only in Jesus.
Yes, they are,
Carol,
and that's what's missing in our world.
What are you looking forward to most about being a part of the LCMS Life Conference in 2015?
Seeing some people that I have met from around the country that have told me they're going to be there. They show up at our Right to Life events, and I love that. And they're saying, I'll see you in January.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to seeing some old friends. My understanding that President Harrison is going to be there, so that should be a highlight of the event, I would think. They're just And some great speakers. I know some of the others that are going to be there, like Molly Ziegler-Hemingway and Lila Rose. We've got some fantastic speakers, and overall, it's just going to be a great event.
I agree. The lineup is great. I enjoyed talking with Dr. Donna Harrison earlier from the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists, an organization that I didn't even know existed until recently. And to hear about groups such as that and the National Right to Life Committee and the work that you all are doing is an encouragement to me. And I think to be able to see all the people that will be gathered together for this March for Life and at the LCMS Life Conference and all the opportunities that we'll have to learn at this conference from all the speakers is just is outstanding. And I hope that that people will continue to take advantage of this and come hear what you'll be presenting on. I know that is all still in the works because so much can change over the next 6 weeks, right?
Yes, it can. And try to keep it current.
What is what are the things that are happening right now that we need to be aware of? What are the issues that that are on the table that we need to be aware of, and maybe that we could be praying about?
I know coming up in Congress, we're going to be dealing again with the No Taxpayer Funding for Abortion Act. Right now, Obamacare is funding abortion through subsidies of health policies. This bill would make sure that Obamacare, as well as any other government policy or program, can't pay for abortion. We're going to be working on the Paying Capable Unborn Child Protection Act to save babies at 20 weeks after fertilization because they can feel pain. We want to save all of them, but the Supreme Court won't let us. So this is one step that we think we can take forward. A lot of the state legislatures are going to be dealing with legislation in the next couple of months, and I would encourage people to find out if they don't know who their legislators are, their representatives and their senators or their assemblymen, to find out who they are, get that phone number, that office number, and then kind of pay attention to the news or to get in touch with the local Right to Life group and to what is coming up. January is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, and if we've got people who can get pro-life materials into their churches, maybe encourage their pastor to mention it in his sermon. There are a lot of different ways that we can make a difference.
Very good. Carol, I always enjoy talking with you. I'm sure that we will talk again in the not too distant future. Thank you so much for being our guest today. Carol Tobias, president of the National Right to Life Committee. Thanks for being our guest on Faith and Family today.
Thank you, Andy. My pleasure.
Coming up in just a little bit, we've got Thy Strong Word, and I want to say thanks to our partners, those of you who have partnered with us here at Worldwide KFUO to help tell that good news of Jesus Christ, as we have had the blessing and the honor to get to proclaim that good news of Jesus Christ for 90 years now, and it's an honor and privilege to get to partner with you, and I'm so thankful that you've been a part of that with us, and we've still got the beautiful giving tree up here in the studio and all the tags of folks who have partnered with us. And some of those folks, let's say thanks to Julie in St. Louis, Hattie in St. Louis, Alfred in St. Louis, Myron and Carrie in St. Louis, Clarence and Mildred in Frona, Missouri, Virginia and Williams in Imperial, Missouri, and also Donald and Mary in Redbud, Illinois. Thanks so much for partnering with us here at Worldwide KFUO. Thy Strong Word up next with Pastor Whedon, right here on listener-supported Worldwide KFUO.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.